family, eternal gracious Father, come before you here this morning. Take a moment here to bow before you, thinking of a verse in Psalm that says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord's a sure, making the wise the simple. Lord, we pray this morning as Brother Steve stands here and brings out your words, the laws and testimonies of you. You give him strength and courage and peace, Lord, that he may bring forth what you have for him to say today, Lord. Mm-hmm. That we may become wiser and stronger in your words. Father, we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, I want to greet each one of you and the precious and worthy name of Jesus. Just thanking the Lord for what we heard this morning already. Thank you, brothers, for sharing. I've been thinking about that as well, what Brother Luke shared about consider the salmon, how they God has placed within them a strong desire to return to their place of origin. And much like us, as he wants us to return to our heavenly home from whence we came. And so that was just a blessing to consider again this morning. And also, Brother Nelson, your thoughts there on the Holy Spirit and it goes along well with what the Lord has laid upon my heart this morning. To just walk by faith. Praise the Lord for that. I was thinking of this morning of the title I would like to give it is Facts, Faith, and our feelings. Is the title Facts, Faith, and Our Feelings. This morning I wanted to talk about our feelings and our emotions and what the Word of God teaches us about them. So I wanted to kind of make a graph here this morning, or a gauge maybe, as we think of that. You know, there's a gauge here. And on this side, we have our feelings. You know, what do you do with your feelings? There's days we have a lot of feelings, and we don't always know what to do with them. And so, I would like to suggest that we walk in the Spirit. You know, walking in the Spirit is one way that we can decipher our feelings. You know, in most of us, you know, you have the facts on one side, the feelings are over here, you know, and God's heart is that we could come together here in the center. Faith and feelings come together. But as we all know, that doesn't always happen. That doesn't always happen as soon as we would like for it to. So this morning, as we consider walking by faith in the power of the Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit that our brother talked about here this morning, you know, how do we do that? How do we do that? truth-guided emotions. I was just thinking about that here recently, you know, how, you know, I spent, you know, most of my life really, you know, our feelings, my feelings at times would go up and then they would go down and they go up and they go down. And it seems to be a roller coaster at times. And so what does the Word of God say about our feelings and our emotions and how they should be guided? And what do we do if the facts remain and yet the feelings aren't there when it comes to walking in the Spirit? And so I just thought we would look at some scripture here today and just give some thoughts and give give God's word for this this situation and for what we find in our lives at times, our senses, training our senses and emotions. I was thinking of Hebrews 5:14. We're going to be turning over to Colossians or Galatians 5, but before we do that, I'd like to go to Hebrews chapter 5. Just thinking about our senses. Hebrews 5, we'll start in verse 11. It says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." I want to talk a little bit more about this later, but those senses there are our feelings, are in an awareness or feelings or emotions. We can exercise them to discern both good and evil. And it's an operation by the Holy Spirit that we heard about this morning from Brother Nelson. But yet there seems to be a understanding in the Word of God that these senses here are the feelings that we have within us at times. But we know that our feelings are not always safe to go by. Because we can feel a lot of things, but they're not safe to guide us. But if we continue from young up, from through the Holy Spirit, an operation of God to exercise our senses, we can use them for the glory of God. And just to know that we own them. You know, there's times when someone will say something that can cause your feelings to drop to the floor. But I would like for us to know that we can, you know, we own those feelings. They're not someone else's feelings. They're your feelings. So don't allow them to drop to the floor, but just to receive those things which the Lord is doing in our lives. And so I want to talk a little bit more about that later, but I just wanted to lay a foundation here in Galatians 5 as well. About how we can, you know, starting in verse 16, about walking in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the spirit lusteth against us, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye are led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. So as we look at this, I would like to go through these a little bit here, these verses. You know, verse 16 there is saying that you know, we need to walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek Him and be responsive to His guidance. And then you will not carry out the desires of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God or His precepts. Verse 17, for the sinful nature has its desire which is opposed to the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit opposes the sinful nature. For those two, the sinful nature and the Spirit, are in direct opposition to each other, continually in conflict, so that you as believers do not always do whatever good things you want to do. But if you are guided and led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. I was thinking about that. It says, you know, if we're guided by the Spirit, or if we're walking by the Spirit, we are not subject to the law. You know, why is that? And I think what it's saying here is, the Spirit of God helps us to live above the requirements of the law. You know, the law was external. The law was, if you didn't do this or that, then you were righteous. But Jesus intensified it, and He made it, He brought it closer home, and He said, if you think about hatred, if you think about sin, you know, you have a envy or lust or any other sin in your heart, that is sinful, and you're breaking the law of God. If you hate your brother, you're a murderer. So He's saying, because the Spirit of God helps us to, you know, go deeper than just the externals. And if we're, that can only be done as we're guided by the Spirit. Now the practices, verse 19, of the sinful nature are clearly evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, total irresponsibility, lack of self-control, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes, dissensions, which is discord or disagreement, factions, which are cliques or disunity that promote heresies. Verse 21, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, which is a party life, you could say. Wild, drunken party life. And other things like these. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who practice Such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence within us, is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience. Not the ability to wait, but how we act while we wait. You know, that illustrates what I was trying to say earlier about the law. It's not only the ability to wait, but how we act while we wait. That's the kind of walking in the Spirit that Jesus talked about. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And in verse 23, it says, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So self-control, it's controlling the tabernacle and the temple of God that He has given us. There's no end to how much God will allow us to partake of that. We can't exhaust it. There's no end to the kindness that you can show to someone. There's no end to the gentleness that you can display. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit, this, I'm talking about self-control here now, can't be practiced too much. You can't do too much of it. Another word for self-control is temperance, which is the King James Version. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature together with its passions and appetites. You know, as we think of temperance here, that self-control is also, you know, part of our feelings, is controlling our feelings. Self-control of my feelings, if you will. Temperance means restraint in actions, thoughts, and feelings. So temperance, self-control, or our feelings, those need to be brought under the power of the Holy Spirit. If we claim, verse 25, if we claim to live by the Holy Spirit, we must also walk in the Spirit with personal integrity, godly character, moral courage, our conduct empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, that's the engine room of this life of self-control and temperance and not going by our feelings or emotions. That's the engine room. So that walk, you know, walking by faith or walking in the Spirit, you know, it means that there's a forward motion. You know, you're walking forward in faith and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And while you're walking, you know, these feelings here, you know, sometimes they're going to be way out here in the cold area. But when you bring the facts and the feelings together, this is where we should walk. This is where it's comfortable to walk. We understand things. But sometimes when our feelings get way off, we don't know what I'm feeling, whether it's right or not. And so we need to go back to the facts and back to faith. And then after we walk, continue to walk, it'll come together. That walk is not a walk by feelings, but it's by a walk by faith. And so I was thinking of, you know, what are some examples that we can read about that where there was a basically walking by their feelings. I thought of John 18, verse 10. You know, Peter, they were having some difficult days when they were, you know, the arrest of Jesus and betrayal of Jesus was happening. And so in verse 9 there, it says, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Then Simon, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then Jesus said unto Peter, Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? So Peter was there, and he was going by his feelings that day. His feelings were ruling. Jesus had clearly spoken to them earlier that he was going to have to die. He was going to have to be given into the hands of the chief priests and scribes. And yet, Peter did not hear it. He did not hear it. But in a moment, in a weak moment, he saw this man that was about to take Jesus hostage and take him away. And he pulled out his sword and he cut his right ear off. So that was a response, that he was going by his feelings rather than what Jesus had told him. And then in Luke 23:43, speaking of the two thieves on the cross. You know, Jesus was on the cross and he was enduring the pain and suffering and sorrow. And it says there was two thieves that were hung beside him. Verse 39 says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so this man, he was in a difficult situation, and yet he chose to make the right decision. He saw Jesus Christ. And he saw that he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he just cried out. And he just asked for one thing, and that was that he would remember him. And he told him, today, you'll be with me in paradise. So there's two responses there. And I think, you know, those are responses that we can have as well, you know, in life. We won't respond perfectly in every situation. But what we do with that at that moment, when we find ourselves where the thief was or where Peter was, that we just cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I went by my feelings. And I want to walk in faith. Or we could look at the Matthew 15:26, where there's this Canaanite woman came to Jesus beseeching him. She was hungry. In verse 25 it says, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You see the faith of this woman. She had much opportunity to have her feelings hurt there. He called her a dog. And yet she kept begging and saying, I know, yes, I am a dog. But would you feed me? And then answered Jesus and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, and be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole that very hour. Actually, she was crying out for her daughter that was vexed with a devil. I had that wrong there. But You know, the other thing that I was looking at, it says, you know, he called her a dog, basically. But if you look at the word, the Greek wording there, that word for dog is, it means like a puppy. It means like a small little animal in a smaller tense. So he was trying to show her that. I don't exactly understand what all he was saying here today, but my point of my illustration is that she had a lot of opportunity to go by her feelings and think that Jesus didn't care about her, and that maybe he was even rude to her. But she just continued to go by the facts. She continued to focus on faith and facts. And then her feelings came along because Jesus said there's not been such great faith. He hadn't seen that in a while. He said, Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. And it was, rewarded to her. So we think of feelings this morning. So how are you feeling this morning? If you were to gauge your feelings on this gauge up here, you know, are you way over here in the cold side of things, or and here's the facts? Are you coming up here in the center together? The fact is, you know, we can be here today, and then we can, you know, it'll, as we keep walking in the Spirit, it'll start coming back where we feel what the Lord would have us to. There's a little quote here that someone shared with me some time ago that illustrates the point of facts and feelings. Three men were walking on a wall, feeling, faith, and fact. When feeling took an awful fall, so close was faith to feeling that he stumbled and fell too. But fact remained and brought faith back, and that brought feelings too. So we can see that just walking by faith, walking in the Spirit, yeah, there's be tumbles that happen at times. But three men were walking on a wall, feeling, faith, and fact. When feeling took an awful fall, so close was faith to feeling that he stumbled and fell too. But fact remained and brought faith back, and that brought feeling too. So that's how our feelings are at times. They're not a safe gauge. They're not a safe guide. And yet they're God-given. God gave us our feelings. Are they under the control of the Holy Spirit? You know, I was thinking of a story that I read some time ago of a man who bought a GPS, and he put in at a destination, and this is actually a true story, I believe. And so he took off, and he was going through a city, and all of a sudden it said, turn here, and he turned there, and as he was going along, why, there were signs there that said, road construction, follow the detour. Well, he said, the GPS said go this way. And so he kept going, and he run right off the edge of there's a bridge being built, and it wasn't finished. He drove right off the edge of it down into a ravine. And then he tried to sue the GPS company, and he said they gave him a false hope or a false direction here. And so that's how it is with our feelings. You know, our feelings will lead us. They'll guide us and they'll direct us. But many times we'll end up down on the rock somewhere or down in the valley or down in the gutter. So they're not a safe guide. We need to bring them back to facts and faith in Christ. So I want to suggest this morning that it's not safe to go by our feelings and emotions, even in our Christian life. Number two, a great secret to consistent faith and joy in serving Jesus is understanding our feelings will come and go as we journey along, We need to know that we own them. You know, our feelings don't own us. You know, we own them. You have control of your feelings. And I didn't know that most of my life. That my feelings will come and go, and that I need to continue to walk by faith. And feelings are very real. They're more real than your faith at times. And that's why it can be so deceptive as you walk along, as you're walking through in the Spirit. You know, the feelings will come, go this way or do this or whatever. But we know that the Bible says the opposite. 2 Peter 3, 1 and 2. Peter was talking there. He said, this is the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So there's a pure mind there that, and that is, there's a, the wording for that, that Peter, he wants to stir up is, the term mind translates Greek. In the Greek is dianoa, which means mind or understanding or intellect, feelings or dispositions. An emotion can be defined as a strong feeling that has some effect on our body. So Peter was saying there he wants to stir up the senses or the feelings or the mind to, by way of remembrance, so that they could obey Christ, they could obey the truth. So we can think of, you know, as I was growing up, there was always the term that people would throw out there at times. They would say, you know, he got up on the wrong side of bed this morning because, you know, he was kind of moody or he was acting irrational, and he was, his feelings were controlling him, and at the same time they were crashing. And so as we think of that this morning, we don't want to be that way. We want to be like, you know, I think of my dog at times. Every morning when I come out of the house, my dog's laying on the porch and he gets up and he's the same. He's consistent. He is always friendly. He always follows me out to the shop. He always wants to eat something. And he's very, very consistent. You know, he's an example of walking in the Spirit. But I know he's not, because he's an animal. But I'm just saying, you know, I don't come out of the house one morning and he just up and bites me, you know, or barks at me or chews on me or something. He's always the same. And so that's what I'm talking about here. If you're a moody person, maybe you're going by your feelings or your emotions. And that term about getting up on the wrong side of bed, that's just an excuse for bad behavior. That's just an excuse for allowing your feelings to crash. Or maybe you don't even know they crashed, but that's what happened. You know, I always think of John D. Martin. You know, he tells a story about, you know, bipolar. They never heard of that when he was growing up. He says, you know, bipolar is some medical term that they use today for people that go up and down like this during the course of a week or day. And he said there, his dad's treatment for bipolar was this. When he was young, he said he became hyper. He was told, sit on a chair, John. And if he threw a tantrum, he got a spanking. And like he would say, after 26 treatments, he was healed. You know, he brought out the highs and lows, his dad did. You know, and I'd like to suggest that this morning, that I'm not making light of medical conditions, but I am saying that a lot of this, things that I have faced in my life, if I would have been correctly disciplined in my young years, I likely wouldn't have had as many struggles. You know, and for best results, start treatment at 2 years old. Don't wait until 15, 20, or 30, or 40. It's much more difficult. Then the Lord will have to do it. Then the Lord will have to chasten us and guide us, and he'll have to start that process. But I think it's intended that it begins in our homes, in our children. So if you have children here this morning that are extremely hyper, make them sit on a chair for a half hour. Or if they throw a tantrum, you know, they're saying, I need a spanking. So may the Lord help us with these things. You know, some of it is more practical than what we would like to think. Hebrews 5:13, for everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced and unskilled in the doctrine of righteousness and of conformity to the divine will and purpose, thought and action. For he is a mere infant and not able to talk yet. But solid food is for grown, full-grown men, for those whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice to discriminate and distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is evil and contrary, either to divine or human law. And that senses there means that it's an awareness or a feeling. So those senses need to be exercised. And when you do that when John Dee's parents did that to him, they were exercising his senses to obey the truth and to respond. That way, when he became an adult, he could respond to God in the correct way. And I was also thinking of, looking at Matthew 25 there, the 10 virgins, that parable of the 10 virgins. You know, we want someone else to be responsible for my mood swings. And we sometimes say, it's their fault. He did it to me or she did it to me or whatever it is. We want to put that blame on someone else. We don't want to be responsible. We don't want to own those feelings that we have. So Matthew 25 there, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. You know, that 5 were foolish. They allowed feelings of laziness to creep in their life, neglect. Or maybe they thought, at a more convenient time, I'll go get oil. But not now. I'm having fun. And so there was just laziness was ruling their life, neglect, without forethought. The Amplified says thoughtless. They weren't thinking. They were going by their feelings. And it says 5 were wise. They were sensible, it says in the Amplified. Sensible means senses were exercised to know that if I don't do what I need to do today, then I'll be needing it tomorrow and I won't have it. In this case, it was eternal life. And it may be that way for you this morning. And so as we think of these 10 virgins, you know, let's consider that, you know, likely the ones who were rejected or didn't have the oil and thus were rejected, they could have thought, you know, that was something that wasn't, they weren't treated right, you know, it wasn't fair. But they both had the same opportunity. And so I'd like for us to consider that. They just didn't have their senses or feelings were not engaged to do what was right. So this morning we want to look at, you know, negative emotions this morning that, like, to go through a list here. You know, I don't have a degree at all in emotionology, but I believe our topic this morning about the work of the Holy Spirit must include a balanced biblical understanding of the very real and necessary emotions that we all have and face. And I just want to be clear that I don't believe, I'm not trying to paint a picture that emotions are not good. We need emotions. God has, he's an emotional God. But what we do, how we walk, with our emotions makes the difference. Much like the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. So we can look at negative emotions. You know, as I was went to a little Finnish seminar this week, my Finnish company, you know, they were telling us that colors bring out emotion, and that when you sell cabinets or whatever to your clients, that if you have a color, certain colors bring out emotions. And I just thought that's interesting. You know, it does that. It's as simple as that. And people are emotional, is what they were saying. People are very emotional buyers. So let's look at a list here of emotions that are negative, and then we want to look at some positive ones and allow the Lord to just teach us through this. So number one, we have emotional eating. You know, sometimes when someone is discouraged or mad or whatever it is, or offended, they just start eating stuff. They'll just sit down and eat more than they ever intended to eat. Number two, you know, when you have a broken relationship, whether it's a courtship or whatever, you know, sometimes there's what they call rebound relationships, where you immediately go to the next person because, you know, you're responding emotionally. You're going by your feelings. There's emotional spending. You know, you need new clothes to make you happy, to keep your feelings up, or new car, or whatever it is, something new that will bring those feelings up again so that you can feel good about yourself. There's anger, bitterness, and verbal abuse. Those are emotions that we can display or experience. Number five, hurt feelings, imaginations, or, you know, when people's feelings are, you know, going down, they say, I'm sad. I'm feeling sad. Well, no, it's just that your feelings aren't where they should be. You're going by your feelings. You're looking at the wrong dial. You know, you're looking at this dial right here. It says feelings are crashing. You're not looking at facts or faith. You're not looking at, you know, I still have a house to live in. I still have my health. I still have plenty to eat. I'm very well taken care of. And the blood of Jesus is still very close to my heart. And the snow outside is fresh, and it displays to us, as we heard the verse this morning, though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. Number six, depression, silent treatment, self-abuse. More emotions when the feelings fall off the edge. You know, I knew a guy one time that struggled with these things, and whenever he would get disappointed or discouraged or something along those lines, he'd go to the gas station, the nearest gas station, and he would get a 2-liter of Coke and the biggest candy bar that they had. And he would sit down wherever he was and eat all of it. That's what I call emotional eating. Or, yeah, just abuse of your own body. But, so number six there, depression, silent treatment, and self-abuse, which I think most of us adults would understand what that is. But number seven is harsh slander or threatening words. You know, sometimes when our feelings start falling off and crashing, why we want to threaten somebody, we'll say, you know, this, that, or the other, just bring a threat to them with hopes that it's going to bring our feelings back up, and it doesn't. You know, there's people that they file civil lawsuits because someone hurt their feelings. They say it was an emotional distress to me, and so I'm going to file a lawsuit and try to get some money for that. You know, there's people that do those things. Number eight, addiction, substance abuse to all kinds of things. That's a indicator. The indicator light is saying you're going by your feelings and it's falling off, it's going down, and you're trying to bring it back with that, but it'll only make it worse unless you go to Jesus Christ right up here. It's only as you go to the cross. You know, go to the cross of Christ. This is not safe over here. But as you continue to bring your feelings to the cross, this will come this way. You'll see this going that way. But I think it's safe to say this morning that most people don't know that. And if they do, they forgot it. You know, there can be addictions to medication like painkillers, whatever it is. You know, there's all kinds of things that people take for addictions. Number 9, unforgiveness and grudges, easily offended. Self-pity, life is not fair. Living in the past. You know, the good old days. You know, it's not like it was anymore. You remember those good old days way back there, that nostalgia. You know, that's just thinks everything was wonderful back there. And sometimes there were some good things there, but it's false. It's you're going by your feelings if you think that. You know, I know Brother Nelson, he's going through some nostalgia right now with, you know, moving from Rochester to here. But he knows that all it is just nostalgia. It's just a feeling about walking away from 25 or 30 years of neighbors and friends and family and all that. So it's just nostalgia. So if he let his feelings rule, if he would let his feelings take control, he probably wouldn't sell the farm, right? So anyway, just he's able to go to that cross, go to Jesus Christ, look at the facts, and look at Jesus and know that someday he's going to have to sell the farm anyway. Finding fault, critical spirit, condemning yourself in your mind repeatedly, insecure in your standing with Christ. You know, playing the mind games of, I wish I was a better person. I wish I could be like other people. All that is your feelings are just, they're hollering, and you need just to tell them, hey, I'm Christ, and He is crucified for me, and I'm a new creation in Christ. You know, he talked about timidness. Paul told Timothy, he said, you know, you're timid. You're too timid. And you're allowing things to affect you too much. You need to rise up and don't take that spirit of fear and let it come in your heart. You know, just rise up and said that God has not given us that spirit, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Or we could be proud, not seeing ourselves as a needy saint before a righteous and holy God. And we could think, well, why don't people come up to my level? Why can't people be like I am? Most of the time, the emotional battle is won or lost at the level of our thinking. It's not always what I'm going through, but how I am thinking about what I'm going through that sparks strong emotion. You know, Proverb writer, he has a beautiful verse here that I'd like to read. Proverbs 16:32. It says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." That spirit there is your feelings. It's your thoughts. He said, if you can do that, you're better than him that can take a city. It's better than, we heard about Shammah the other Sunday evening, how he stood. Everybody else ran out of the lentil field, and the Philistines came in. They were going to kill everyone. And Shammah stood, and he slew all of them. He stood. We need to take control of our emotions and feelings like Shammah did to the Philistines. Let's look at truth-guided emotions. Our emotions need to be guided by truth. Most of us in this room were taught in our growing up years to suppress our daily emotions. And then after a time, the frustration builds and then the lid blows off. That's not healthy for Christians. It's sinful. Communication with God and our fellow man helps us to keep our emotions in tune with walking in the Spirit. God designed your emotions and feelings to be a gauge, not a guide. They're meant to report to you, not to direct you. See, too often in my life, as I was growing up, and many years later, my feelings would direct me and not report to me. Emotional reactions are essentially outward expressions of what's going on inwardly. And I know that, you know, our dear sisters here tend to be more emotional about things, and it's not a bad thing, but you just have to know how to gauge them, how to guide them. And sometimes that's us as husbands, sometimes that's our calling to help that to work itself out. So your battle today will not be against flesh and blood, but deceitful forces of evil in Ephesians 6:12, and the deceitfulness of indwelling sin. You know, your battle is not the person sitting beside you or the person that you're thinking about. That's not your battle. But it's the enemy of your soul. And these two forces are going to try to use your emotions against you, so that it might be helpful by way of preparation to remember the purpose of emotions so that you can fight more effectively and know when to counter them. Emotions are a gift from God, mysterious and often beautiful. But sometimes, if uncontrolled, they can feel like a curse and can poison relationships. We serve an emotional God. You know, God is a God of emotion. In 1 John 4, there 7 to 9, he talks about the love that he has for us. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is of love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And as we think about that this morning, that he that loveth not knoweth not God. That's very, very deep. And that'll help our feelings to come into the right place when we consider that. You know, the Father communicates his affection for Israel with the example of a mother caring deeply for a child. Clearly, one of the most tender and emotionally charged relationships known to man is a mother with her child, or a God. And Zephaniah 3:17 says, God rejoices over us with gladness and with singing. I had to think of last weekend, you know, as we spent time in the hospital with Leon and Jen, seeing a mother and a father caring for their little son. It was precious. It was very precious. And, you know, one of the nurses came in once and noticed that Jen was singing to little Wesley. And it just, she commented on it. It just touched her heart, I believe, you know, that emotion of singing to your dear little ones. It's beautiful. And Jesus is our example of emotion. You know, the gospel writers, if you look at the gospels, they paint a portrait of Jesus using a wide range of emotional phrases. He felt compassion at times. He was angry. He was disgruntled, consumed with zeal, troubled, greatly distressed, very sorrowful, depressed, deeply moved, grieved. He sighed, he wept, he sobbed, he groaned. He was in agony. He was surprised. He was amazed. He rejoiced very greatly. He was full of joy, and he greatly desired and he loved. So that was our Lord Jesus. Those emotions are beautiful, beautiful, and we should never try to suppress them, but to guide them. You know, truth shapes godly reactions in our emotional behavior. Here's a quote about feelings that I was blessed by. My feelings are not God. God is God. My feelings do not define truth. God's word defines truth. My feelings are echoes and responses to what my mind perceives. And sometimes, many times, my feelings are out of sync with truth. When that happens, and it happens every day in some measure, I try not to bend the truth to justify my imperfect feelings. But rather, I plead with God, purify my perceptions of your truth. Transform my feelings so that they are in sync with your truth. And personally, you know, I have found that my feelings often represent some of the most sensitive areas in my life touched by the Spirit of God. Often my emotions play a vital role in how and where the Spirit is guiding me, giving me reasons to make significant decisions, cautioning me to back off at times, and reproving me for something in my life that needs immediate attention. So our feelings are intended to guide us a bit, but if we let them run, they will take us far off course. In closing here, I just a little bit on the church and emotions in our church, in the local church. Brother Nelson was talking about some of the issues that are being faced by some with laying in the spirit, this highly emotionally charged type of pursuit, you know, just to find something that will keep my feelings at the right place. But it's not God's heart. He said we should walk by faith. He said the just shall walk by faith. So I have wondered, in light of what Brother Nelson said, I have wondered if our people growing up suppressed their, you know, most of us had suppressed emotion. And so when people meet up with this emotion on steroids, they automatically just, they connect with it because they want to take it over center, you know. When we're suppressed in one way, we tend to take it over center the other way. And so I've wondered already if that's the connection between some of our plain circles diving into these Pentecostal movements, is that, you know, it's feelings and emotions on steroids versus, you know, just a walking daily by the Spirit of God. And so may the Lord help us here this morning. Truth without emotion produces dead formalism and a church full of unspiritual fighters. Emotion without truth produces empty frenzy and cultivates weak people who reject the discipline of rigorous thought. True worship comes from people who are deeply emotional and who love deep and embrace sound doctrine. And so that's my heart this morning, that you know, I haven't heard of emotions run wild here, per se, in the congregation, but I also know that each one of us in a given week have feelings and emotions that can go up and down like this. And if you own your feelings, and if you know that your feelings are just feelings and that you can control them, and you own them and they don't own you, I think it can help us to do battle. It can help us to recognize that. And when someone hurts my feelings, which, you know, that has happened, You and I have all had hard things that have happened to us. Someone and our feelings get dashed. And then at that very moment, what do I do? You know, what do I do? You know, go to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I give my feelings to you. Yes, I was hurt here. I give my feelings to you, and I want you to correct them and give me peace, joy, and love in the Holy Ghost. God bless.